Thank God it came. I want to turn to Acts chapter number 16, very familiar passage, preached on it just not long, too long ago. But God just would not leave me alone when this week, as I was dealing with this, and have had some things on my mind for the church, and wanted to kind of go that direction, but I'm going to have to spend a little time in Acts chapter number 16. We know the story. This is where we see the Macedonian call, and Paul heads westward instead of eastward, and that's maybe why we're where we're at today, because of that, good chance of that. But if you would, let's start reading. Let me back up. I'm going to read a few verses. I'll tell you what I need to do. I need to pray first. Let's pray and then we'll read. Our Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you this morning. Thank you for the good singing, Father. I appreciate that. I thank you, Father, for touching my heart with the songs of Zion. Thank you, Father, for sending Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now, Lord, you know it's time for the preaching hour, and you know my insufficiency and my inability. And Lord, I'll just make a mess out of things if you don't help me. You know that. Give me clarity of thought and clarity of speech. Open the hearts of the listeners. Refrain any hindrances to the working of the Holy Spirit. Allow it free course in our midst. And above all things, be glorified this morning. You must increase. I must decrease. Help us now, Father, and we'll praise you for all you do. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. Well, we know this. If there ever was a man after sinners, it was the Apostle Paul. The burden of my heart is for sinners to be saved. Right now, we've probably struggled as much in that area as a church as we have in a long time. We, just to be honest with you, we've not seen a whole lot of folks saved. Now, we had a Bible school and had three or four professions of faith, and I appreciate that, but as a church, we've not seen a whole lot of folks saved, and so I want us to kind of refocus just a little for a few minutes this morning. And I want to ask you this question. What has to happen for sinners to be saved? What has to happen? There's much we could say. We're going to see Paul in this text. He goes to Philippi and the church is born. He's praying out by the river. Hearts were opened. He cast out a spirit of divination from a young damsel who was plaguing him. And then God opened the door into the prison. Maybe not the way he would have chosen to go, but God opened the door into the prison so that he could reach an old jailer that needed to be saved. And so we see in the 16th chapter, we see all kinds of folks saved, different classes of people. Lydia was a different class from the jailer. The damsel with the spirit of divination was a different class than the other two. Lydia just needed her heart open. She just needed the truth. That's all she needed. And the damsel, she needed a miracle in her life. She was, if I could just say what I think, she was devil-possessed, and so she needed some help. And the old jailer, he was what many of us might have said, beyond help, till God showed up on the scene. And so what is it? What do we need? And I'm going to preach on this maybe tonight as well. One thing we need is perseverance in our problems and our persecutions. Really, all God has to do to some of us is throw up a few little roadblocks, a few potholes in the road of life, and before you know it, we're out of focus. We've lost focus. And I'm not trying to minimize. Some of you have You know, I know this, you have serious problems and serious concerns, but sometimes there's the devil will just put things in our life to throw us out of focus. So we need some perseverance. We need some effort in the work. We need some endurance, some entreaty, some prayer. And we could go on. We need the power of God. And we could just talk about some of those things this morning. But I want to start first. I want to deal with one issue this morning. Talk to you for just a little bit about the necessity of prayer in winning souls. The necessity of prayer in seeing sinners saved. Maybe that'd be a better way to say that. I want you to look in verse number 13. And here's the Apostle Paul in the story, if I were to read it, maybe I ought to, but Paul has attempted to go into Asia and into Bithynia, and the Holy Spirit said, no, you can't go there. You say, don't they need to be saved? Well, yeah, I think so, and you know so. But he said, I want you to go into Macedonia. And so Paul has traveled into Macedonia, and when he gets there, there's not a church. Now, he started out on this journey to confirm the churches. They were going to visit, verse 41, he went through Syria and Cilicia, verse 41 of chapter 15, and he went through Syria and Cilicia confirming the churches. But somewhere along the way, the focus changed to souls and to seeing sinners saved. And I want to say to the Ridgeview Baptist Church, our focus, our track, our plan is given to us in the Word of God. If you were to look in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, the Bible says this, and you know this. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. It just gives us the job that the Lord has left with us. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, from that text, we see the job of the church is to evangelize and to baptize and to stabilize. You've all heard that multiple times. I understand. I know you're aware of that. But that's our job. And can I say every one of you have a place in that plan? I don't know exactly. I can't tell you exactly what your place is, but you have a part in carrying out the Great Commission. And so I want to spend just a few minutes on a part we all play in carrying out the Great Commission. And I want to talk to you for a little bit about this thing of prayer. If I were to ask you this, why are we failing in seeing sinners saved? Why are we failing? Here's what some would say. They're gospel hardened. And they would begin to, and maybe there's some truth to that. The point I'm trying to make, we would begin to try to place that responsibility upon the sinner. And they do have a part. They have to accept. They have to respond. We understand that. If I was to say, what do we have to do? If I was to bring it to us, what do we have to do to be successful in seeing souls saved? Are we failing? If I was to say that, is the Ridgeview Baptist Church a failure when it comes to seeing souls saved, to winning sinners in our community? I'm just asking. I have to ask that question. I'm the pastor of the church, and if we're going in the wrong direction, I'm the one to give account one of these days. And I'm simply saying to you, I have to ask myself that question. And when I ask myself that question, I have to ask you that question. And you ought to ask yourself, you don't want to be going in the wrong direction, do you? You don't want to be doing the wrong thing. I know you well enough. You don't want to fail in reaching sinners. I know we don't want to give false hope. I understand that. And I know there's folks out there that doing things, the right thing, the wrong way, and think they're flying away. But I'm telling you, are we going in the right direction? And what is the right direction? That's some things that's been running through my mind and I've been wrestling with. And I took this 16th chapter of Acts and I have drawn some truths out of it. I want you to notice verse 13, something that jumped out at me about this chapter. In verse 13, and on the Sabbath day we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont. That word wont means known. Was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. We see prayer, Paul seeking the place of prayer. Now maybe he's seeking that to preach, I don't know. But I do know this, he went where prayer was going on. Now I want you to notice in verse number 16. Now God sent him over there to start a church, but I want you to notice what he's doing. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with spirit of divination met us. As we went to prayer, well, we can only flip over to the jail scene in verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises. This is the same man that told the Thessalonican church to pray without ceasing. And I began to think about that. And I started wondering, why was it? Why wasn't he witnessing? Why didn't the Bible say, and he witnessed, 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 and he handed out flyers and got a group together and he preached to them? Why didn't the Bible say that? And we know he did those things, but in the Bible here, there seems to be in this passage an emphasis on, first of all, on prayer. There's an emphasis on prayer. And I started wondering about that. Why is it we ought to place an emphasis on prayer when we're interested in seeing sinners saved? Why is that? Number one, I want to give you four or five reasons this morning, try to help you a little bit. We should pray because of the depravity of sinners. I don't think we really grasp how depraved sinners really are. Sinners are depraved. In John, I'm just going to turn and read these to you this morning if I can find them real quick. In John 8 and 44, the Lord said this, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He's talking to the religious crowd. And so he says this, you're a sinner. But you're more than a sinner. You're part of the family of the devil. Now think about that. We're dealing with people who are in the family of the devil. Their father is the devil. Now if I want to really stir you up, all I have to do is mess with your children. Isn't that right? If there's one thing you're protective of, if there's one thing you're going to look out for, if there's one thing that you're going to stand up and fight for, it's going to be your children. And can I tell you, the devil's no different. You realize when we go deal with sinners, their father is the devil? My, that would be offensive if there's someone here that's lost this morning. They might could take offense to that fact that their father's the devil. But that's what the Bible implies from this text. Now, my, do you think that the devil's going to give up his children easily? I think not. In fact, I don't think you can get the devil's children without the power of God doing something somewhere. I believe that. And so I want you to understand, we're not just dealing with somebody. I mean, we're not just dealing with an individual. We're dealing with the devil's children. My, he takes that serious. You start taking somebody's children, see what happens to you. My, that's what we're trying to do. But not only that, we see a principle in Mark chapter 3. I can get over there, I'll read you the verse. It's Mark chapter 3 and verse number, let me see if I can find it here right quick. Verse number 27. It says this, no man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man and then he will spoil his house. Now if you study that in context, the strong man is the devil. And I want to say to you, lost souls are his goods. Lost souls are his goods. Hey, you say, what about my uncle? What about my child that's lost? And what about my brother, my sister that's lost? Can I just say to you humbly as I know how, they're goods of the devil. They belong to the devil. I'm sorry to tell you, say, well, that's my family. I understand that. But I'm telling you spiritually, they're the devil's goods. And you're not going to slip in the devil's house and steal his goods. There is children, but there is valuables also. You're not going to slip in and steal his valuables until the strong man's been tied up or bound down, and that takes the power of God to do. That's just how it is. Now see, here we are, we're just going out and we're just trying to talk to sinners. But I'm telling you, there's a spiritual warfare going on. There's a battle we don't see. There's a satanic power that's holding on to sinners and won't let them go. Oh my. I started thinking about this and it started tugging at my soul. Can I say your loved ones are goods of the devil and he's holding on and protecting, and until someone stronger than him ties him up and gives us a victory, we'll never see him saved. Amen. Well, here's what I'm trying to say to you. This thing of prayer's got to go first. We can do more in the prayer closet than we never do just out here trying to do something on our own. You say, I can't go on visitation. Would you just crawl in the prayer closet and beg God to do a work in the sinner's life? He's a child of the devil. He's goods of the strong man. And we can't spoil his house until he's been bound down. I'm just thinking about, this sinner this morning. We just see him as a regular, ordinary person. But I'm telling you, he's imprisoned. He's tied down. He's bound. He can't get loose until God does a work in his life. Oh my, he has to enlighten him to his condition. Oh, let me read just a little more. Can I say something else to you? He don't have the ability to understand spiritual matters. I mean, you think why? Anybody would be foolish to just say no to God and go on to hell. He can't understand. He don't understand. Let me read a verse or two to you here. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14 says this. Chapter 2 of, let me get to the right book. Chapter 2 of 2 Corinthians. Verse number 14. I'm sorry, it's verse number 4. Chapter number 4, verse 3 and 4. But if the gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Now listen what we're saying. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And so we see in that verse, they can't see. I mean, here we go out with our little gospel light, and we're all excited about serving God. And we can say it like this, just like taking a flashlight. We shine it in the sinner's eyes and say, "See, don't you see? Don't you see? Here's what the Bible says. Don't you see that?" But can I tell you, we're shining in blinded eyes. If Chad was blind this morning, I had a spotlight shining in his eyes. If he was blind, he couldn't see. He couldn't get a hold of what I was trying to show him. There wouldn't be no light. Although there was light there, as far as he was concerned, there'd be no light. There has to be I want to use the word awakening, an awareness that God makes in the sinner's life and opens up his understanding. We look at these sinners and we can't understand. We can't understand where they're at. But in 1 Corinthians 2 and 14 it says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God." The natural man, you're sitting there talking to a natural man trying to talk spiritual matters. Really, all you can do, sometimes all you can do is just leave the seed of the Word of God and pray the Holy Ghost makes it real in their life. My, we wonder why we can't see folks saved. Here's what has to happen. A blinded hearts have to be, they have to be made where they can see. The natural man has to be made where he can understand some spiritual truth. Think about it. Did Nicodemus not say, "How? Here's a religious guy, Brother Allen, and Jesus himself's doing the teaching. Nobody can do better than Jesus. The greatest preacher ever walked on earth is preaching to him." And you know what he says? "How can these things be?" I mean, Jesus wasn't, his delivery wasn't flawed, his message wasn't flawed. But Nicodemus is saying, "How? I don't understand." You know what he's really saying? "I don't understand. I don't understand. I can't get it." You know what the woman at the well said? "Give me that water. I want that water where I don't thirst again." She didn't know what kind of water she was talking about. Jesus was talking about. She didn't understand. Oh my. We see that so much. You remember when Philip run up to the Ethiopian eunuch? And here's what he said. Philip said to him, "Do you understand what you've read?" He said, "How can I? Except some man," what does it say, "teach or preach to me?" Or I've forgotten, we can turn over and read it. But he said, "I've got to have somebody to teach me." He didn't understand. Sinners don't understand within themselves. That's what I'm trying to get. I'm trying to tell you why we ought to pray before why we ought to pray as we go and try to share the gospel with sinners. They're much more depraved than you realize. They're in the family of the devil. Their father's going to protect them. They're in the strong man's house. And he has to be bound. My, they have the inability to understand spiritual matters. And it takes a work of the Spirit of God. They're blinded. They can't see. Shine light in their eyes all day until God does a work. They'll never see the truth. My, I'm trying to get you to see. We can't just go out and do things on our own. It won't work. It's too big a job for us within ourselves. There has to be some praying going on. There has to be some praying. My, if you're not going to pray for sinners, it ain't going to do no good to go try to sow seed and water seed and reap a harvest. It's not going to do any good if you're not praying because they're bound down. They're under the protecting hand of the devil. If you understand the way I'm saying that, he's protecting his own. You're no match for the devil. You can't handle the devil. You can't set a captive free. That's God's job. That's why we have to pray. We have to pray. They can't even understand what you're talking about if God doesn't make it real to them. Ah, they're blinded. Shine the light all day long. They're blinded. And so I want to say to you, one of the first things we've got to do if we're going to see sinners saved, somebody's got to pray. Now I want to tell you who can't pray. Now I have seen the time I couldn't pray. I so tore up. I'll never forget. First time I ever experienced that was going through a difficult time in my life, and I got where I couldn't pray, and I just have to say, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Every little bit I say, Lord, please help me. I guess that's praying. But I wasn't able to pray much, if I can say it that way. I'm going to tell you, somebody's going to have to pray for sinners. Somebody's going to have to pray that God opens their eyes and prepares their heart and gets them ready for the gospel message. I'm just trying to show you today, sinners, when we talk about depravity of sinners, we just don't grasp it. And I don't think maybe I'm getting it across to you like I should, but your loved ones are depraved. Those you want to see saved with all your heart, they're bound down and they can't understand, and God's going to have to do a work in their life. You've got to get that. We've got to petition God on their behalf. But I think before we ever go, God's got to be working somewhere. Oh my. I just want to keep driving that home and home and home and home again to you. Can't you see how pitiful the sin, how pitiful a shape the sinner's in? And they don't even know it, Brother Bud. They're not even aware of it. They don't see where they're at. Oh, my. And I don't think many Christians really, many believers really do. They're in pitiful shape. They're if we say, here's what we say, sometimes somebody gets on drugs. We'll use this old phrase. We'll say, man, they're messed up. They're messed up. Can I tell you, sinners are messed up. They're past help unless God gets in the arrangements. And the only way you're going to get God in the arrangements, the only way you're going to get Him in the arrangements is to get Him in through the prayer closet. Some of you that can't go on visitation, y'all be praying. You ought to be praying God down. Hey, you know God goes where faith and prayer sends Him. That's where God goes. You know prayer is how we access the power of God. That's right. I'm going to talk about the power of God. We've got to have it. We'll see the power of God in Acts 16. Before we get through, hey, had there never been an earthquake, the old jailer never would have got saved. If he never had been woke up, he never would have been saved. Power of God, it's essential. I'm trying to tell you, we've got to get God in this process we're talking about. He's left out. Well, you say, does God want to be involved? He cares so much, He sent His only Son to die for sinners. Amen, brother, that's right. God does care. God does want involved. God wants us to stand in the gap and hold off His judgment through prayer and intercession. My, how foolish for us to go trying to deal with sinners without praying. They're bound down. I can't get off of it. I just want to say, I really want to talk to you about some other reasons. The deficiency of the saints. I want to talk about that. It's another reason to pray. I can't get away from the depravity of the sinner. When you see your loved one, the one you love so much, who's lost, I want you to know his father's the devil. You say, that's mean. I'm trying to get you to see how pitiful they really are. They're pitiful. It's sad. They're in the strong man's house and you can't spoil him unless somebody stronger than him binds him up. My, that's got to happen. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's not an option. That has to happen. And the only way that'll happen is us moving God in the prayer closet. We've got to be praying people. No way around it. I've seemed extremely passionate about it, but man, there's souls dying and going to hell because I believe, let me say it to you like this, let me just ask you, do you think there's souls in hell because God's people wouldn't pray? Brother Miller says, yes, sir, and I see half this congregation shaking their head yes like that. Souls in hell because some saint wouldn't pray. That's sad to me. Now, if we were to bring it a little closer home, Alan, there's been a lot of people die in the 16. I'm working on 17 years, I guess. I think close. Yeah, 17 years. Working on 17. In the 16 full years I've been here, been a lot of people die in the Wallen area. I wonder, church, I wonder if any of them went to hell because the pastor wouldn't pray like he should. I wonder if any of them went to hell because the congregation wouldn't pray like they should. I don't know. You did say you thought there's people in hell because God's people wouldn't pray. We're all shaking our head, yes. When we bring it home, it's a whole different story, isn't it? It's a different story. We've got to be praying people, church. We've just got to be praying people. Ain't no way around it. We need to pray because of the depravity of the sinner. We need to pray because of the deficiency of the saints. Let me tell you, we have a ball and chain we call the flesh, and it hinders us. It hinders us. We say things we ought not to say. We have thoughts we ought not to have. We have emotional outbursts that ought not to exist. And then there's always that crowd that says, I don't sin. John, 1 John 1 says this, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We need to pray because we're sinful creatures. We have a tendency to sin. You sin. I sin. You sin. When you sin, it breaks fellowship with God. You go out there with unconfessed sin in your life, trying to win a sinner. Oh, I understand God can use whatever. He called Nebuchadnezzar his servant. He used a donkey to speak to Balaam. But as a rule, God uses holy vessels. Would you want to use a dirty plate to eat out of? You wouldn't. You know you wouldn't. God uses clean vessels. You know that to be so. Let me just read it to you. I feel like I hit a little stump there. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 20 says this, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor, some to dishonor. Now listen what verse 21 says. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified. Sanctified, I think that means holy, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Now let me tell you, as a rule, God uses holy vessels. We're sinful creatures. I know I'm talking about practice. I know our position. I understand that. But we're sinful creatures. And no doubt many times we've tried to talk to sinners with sin in our own life. Broken fellowship with the Lord. And wonder why nothing's happened. That's why we need to pray before we go. You need to be prayed up. Do you understand that? We're sinners. Brother Richard and I were talking last night at prayer. He said, I just can't handle this flesh. Can I tell you something? You can't either. And I can't either. It takes the Holy Ghost to help us. It takes the Holy Spirit of God helping us. My, when we sin, we need to confess and repent and get right with God and be a vessel of honor, sanctified, meet for the Master's use. We're deficient. We're deficient creatures, even as saints. Then I want to say this, we're fearful. We need to pray because we're fearful creatures. We're fearful. If I was to be real bold with you, I just say this, most of God's people are cowards. We're cowards. We won't stand when we ought to stand. We won't say it like we ought to say it. We just won't. We try to water it down so it'll be easy to swallow. Maybe that's okay if we're dealing with babes. But sometimes God gives us specific direction. And we'll try to go another way to make it a little easier. A little easier. We're cowards. I've got the scriptures down, but I don't think we need to turn over the heart. Well, maybe we do. I have a bad habit of getting in a hurry sometimes. Acts chapter number 4, after they had been beaten and warned, here's what they did. They came to the brethren. Verse 29, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. They prayed for boldness. How long has it been since you prayed for holy boldness? I'm not talking about being a smart aleck. I'm not talking about just trying to assert your spirituality or show somebody. I'm just talking about holy boldness to stand for the right and declare the truths of the Word of God. Oh, I'm telling you what they did. They prayed with boldness. Even the Apostle Paul in Ephesians, and you don't have to turn, I'll just read it to you. In Ephesians chapter 6, if I can get over there, he prayed for holy boldness. Listen to what he said. He said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, semicolon. Sentence is not finished. He's still praying. And for me. He said, pray for me that utterance may be given unto me. That utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth, how? Boldly. Notice what he says. He doesn't stop there. To make known the gospel for which I'm an ambassador in bonds. And then he says it again. He's concerned enough to say it twice, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. I'll tell you why I'm afraid. We fail so much. We've been so timid. We've been so concerned about other people's feelings, and we should be. There's a place for that. But when God gives us something to say, there ought to be a holy boldness to unload that message. And so many times we just tiptoe around. And we're so soft that I'm afraid it doesn't get across like it ought to. We need to pray for boldness. We're not a bold people. We'll never make a difference in Blount County by timid means. Never make a difference. If you're timid, there's probably very little difference you're going to make in this county. Well, you say, I'm timid, what do I do about it? What they do about it? They prayed for holy boldness. Now listen, I always feel like I have to put a disclaimer with this. Don't be a smart aleck. Don't be overbearing. Don't be rude or mean-spirited. But in a kind, loving way, say, dear friend, here's what the Bible says. Here's what the Bible says. That's what's going to help people. We need to pray. First of all, because of the depravity of the sinner. He's in the family of the devil. He's goods of the strong man's house. We need to pray because the sinner does not have the ability to understand. I didn't take you over to Matthew where he said he sowed the seed. And because they didn't understand immediately, the devil come and took the seed away. You know why the seed was so easy to get away, Brother Allen? They didn't understand. There was no understanding. It's laying on top of the ground. So the devil takes it away. Mark says he does that immediately. Oh my, we need to pray because they're in the wrong family and they're in the wrong household. And they're protected by a wicked, by the devil. We need to pray because they have no ability to understand the spiritual. Their minds has been darkened. We need to pray because we lack boldness, because sin enters our life from time to time. On a regular basis. We have to repent and get sin out of our life and keep ourselves clean. If we're going to be a vessel of honor, sanctified and meet for the Master's use, we have to deal with sin in our life. That's why we need to pray. We need to pray because we need boldness. We need to pray for a door of utterance to be opened unto us. 1 Corinthians 15:9. Revelations 3:7-8. You know what the Lord said? I can open and no man can shut it. He said, hey, I can open a door for you. There ain't nobody can shut it. Hey, they can throw off on the Ridgeview Baptist Church all they want to throw off. But if God opens us a door, there ain't no man shut that door. That's right. I see that open door as opportunity. We need opportunity to speak on favorable terms with sinners. You need to pray for opportunity. Oh my. Then we need to pray because we can do nothing within ourselves. Amen. You can't do one thing. Can you make a clean thing from an unclean? You can't do it. Not spiritually speaking. Not spiritually speaking. Well, John said it. For without me, you can do nothing. John 15:5, last part of the verse. I like it. It puts us where we're at. That's really, well, maybe that's harsh to say, but maybe that's where we're at. We're just doing nothing. We're doing all right, but as far as in God's eyes, we may not be doing nothing. I know one thing, Paul. Here's what Paul said. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. I'm telling you, you need to pray because it's God that gives the increase. You say, well, that's pretty good preaching, preacher. Mine's good singing today. Can I tell you, it's to no avail unless God gives the increase. Yes, sir. Who are we trying to kid? Can we save them? No. Now I know, I didn't even like the word soul win. I just didn't like that word. Somebody said this, it's in the Bible. Well, fact of the matter is, it is Bible word. He that wins souls is wise. Well, the Bible says, and I understand that, but really it's God that gives the increase. We might be the vessel He uses, but it's God that gives the increase. You say whatever you want. And if you don't have God when you go, and you don't acknowledge that, and you don't say, God, I can't do anything. I don't even have words to say. I'm not acknowledgeable enough to know how to approach it. God, you're going to have to help me. And without you, I can't do anything. It's you that's going to give the increase if we ever see them saved. And God, would you help us? I believe we're in getting in position for God to help us. That's just how it is. Here's what I'm doing. I've got all kinds of things here. I've got 5 or 6 of these. I'm about through this morning. And really, I could say this. I could say it in a nutshell. We need to pray. Yes, sir. What I'm trying to tell you today, we're trying to do things without praying, without God on it. And I'm telling you, it's not going to go anywhere. Don't you understand that? That's just how it is. You can't give the increase. You just can't do it. It takes God. It takes His favor on your effort and on your labor. It takes you submitting. We need to pray. We need to pray because of the deficiencies of the saints. We need to pray because of the power of God. For my alliteration's sake, I said the dynamite of God. But that's the power of God. And I've already preached on that. We've got to have the power of God. He's got to honor it. He's got to honor our efforts. There's got to be a binding of the strong man by somebody. If you're going to get a sinner, somebody's got to bind the strong man. There's got to be something going on that we're not seeing. I mean, it's got to happen. Hey, we need... You say, do you believe there's power in prayer? Effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. You know what it says? Availeth much. That old fella come and said, hey, my son's a lunatic, and I brought him to the disciples, and they couldn't heal him. And the Lord said, hey, this kind cometh not forth but by prayer and fasting. Here's what he said, the power's in the prayer and the fasting. There's power in prayer. Hey, did you know you know how many folks were killed when the atomic bomb was dropped? 90,000, maybe 92,000. I forgot what I read. 92,000. Hezekiah prayed. You know how many God killed that night? 185,000. His prayer was more powerful than two atomic bombs. That's what the writer was getting across. I read that little. That ain't anything I've come up. I just read that. I started thinking about that. One little prayer took care of 185,000. They worked on the bomb for years and years. It only killed 90,000, Brother Allen. You think how powerful prayer is. Man, prayer can turn the world upside down. And we act like we're going to do it on ourselves, ignore prayer, shun the prayer closet, and think we can just go to church and it'll just happen. I can get in the pulpit and it'll just happen. You can get in the choir and it'll just happen. We can go all visitation. Hey, nothing's going to happen till we get God's power in the midst. Amen. Has to be. It has to be. If I pray it with no power, I don't care how good the outline, how alliterated, how well I can pronounce the words and handle the King's English. It doesn't matter without the power of God. I'm just trying to say to you, we've got to be praying people. I'm preaching to you on the necessity of prayer. The necessity of prayer. In evangelism. Paul was after sinners. There's not a doubt in my heart. He's after sinners. He's about carrying out the Great Commission. But one of the things he carried with him all the way was prayer. He was praying. If we had 10 prayer warriors in this church, there ain't no telling what would happen. I'm talking about two true prayer warriors that would labor. Here's what I say when I go to prayer. All right, I'm going to labor for an hour or so. I usually try to pray for an hour. And now, because I publicize that, devil attack me, and I'll struggle. It always happens when I say that. But that's just kind of my manner. By the time I get through with my circle of prayer requests, it's usually about an hour. And when I pray, I get this mentality. It's just like you framing a house. What's the word? I don't want to say psyched up for it. That's what I do. I just get myself geared up. I'm going to labor for an hour. I'm going to labor for an hour. It is labor. It is. If you're going to play at prayer, you ain't going to pray long. You might as well say, I'm getting ready to work for an hour or so. Or 30 minutes or so. Whatever your prayer time is. Everybody's different, but you're just going to have to say, hey, this is my work time. This is what I do at this time of day. This is what I have to do. I have to labor hard for a little while. We should pray because of the power of prayer. My, we could just go on. Think about what happened when Paul prayed. Lydia's heart was open. Her household was saved. Paul's needs were met. He had a place to stay and provided for. When Paul was praying, the spirit of divination on his way to prayer, spirit of divination was cast out. While he was praying, prison access was granted so he could win, some of the prisoners. I'm like Brother Bud. I think the reason they didn't run was some of them got saved there. Maybe some of them's afraid with the earthquake, the building's going to fall in or something, but that'd make me want to get out instead of stay in. I believe they got saved. I believe that Philippian church made up a bunch of jailbirds in a jail. I believe it. I'm convinced of it. Hey, when he started praying, God opened the door for him to get in there and reach the jailer, reach the prisoners. I don't know if I'm driving this truth home or not, but we've got to pray. And if we're not going to pray, don't expect nothing. Don't expect nothing. Because we've got to move God in prayer. We've got to move Him. He wants us to move Him. My, He wants us to move Him. We see all these things. We need to pray. Number one, because of the depravity of sinner, because of the deficiency of the saint, because of the dynamite power in prayer. We should pray because of the demands of the Savior. I could take you to several scriptures where He's telling us we need to pray. We need to pray because we need direction from the Spirit. We look in our text and see direction. I could preach every one of those points. I don't need to. Here's all I'm saying. I say it, and y'all, I say it so much it don't mean anything. But I'm going to say it again. Maybe the Holy Ghost will make it real. If you're not praying, you're playing. If I'm not, let me say it for me, and that way you won't get offended. If I'm not praying, I'm playing. Because I can't do anything on my own. You say, why is it my boy's not saved? This church should pray for my boy. Why is it? Why is it? It could be the prayer closet. It may be superficial. And then really what I need to preach on next, what hinders our prayers? Hey, it don't take much to hinder your prayers. If you're not right with your spouse, your prayers can be hindered. That's what Peter says. You go ahead and look at me odd, but you fuss and fight amongst yourself and then try to pray. You might as well forget it. Get right with your wife and then pray. And we could just go on. That's a whole nother message. Here's what I'm saying. I'd like to see some sinners saved. I would. I'd like to see some sinners saved. You say, oh my, that's sure, we all would. Well, it starts with prayer. Starts with prayer. Paul was a praying man. I think that's where his power came from. It was in the prayer closet. I just want to ask you, are you praying like you ought to? I'm not going to twist your arm. Can I tell you? Sometimes I do. Sometimes I don't. I'm ashamed to tell you that. Maybe that's why you don't, because your pastor don't pray more. I don't for you than what I do. I try to pray for you every day. I don't always. Sometimes I'll miss a day. I try to call every member out every day. Start back there with Walter and Elroy. They're at the top of the list. Top of the list. And I come down right down this way right here. Come around and Jesse, I get you last. I get Sister King when I pray for Brother King. Get you last. I try to do that. Maybe I'm not praying enough. I don't know. Church, we need to be praying people. There's no reason we can't pray. Don't have to be highly skilled in theological truth to pray. You can pray. I'll tell you a story about my uncle. I've told it here before, but I'm going to tell it again. He was wicked as the devil. He worked in a shaft mines in Morgan County. Drank, wicked as he could be. And he told my dad, he said about 10 o'clock of the night, he worked the evening shift in the mines. He said about 10 o'clock at night, he said this, the awfulest feeling would come over me. The awfulest feeling come over me. He said, I just couldn't hardly stand it. Time went on and he did what you done, Brother Miller. He told him, said, I'll go one time. He was a hardened man. I'll go one time. Well, same thing, Brother Miller. Went one time, God saved him. God saved him. He said that after he got saved, this little woman come up to him. She said, Gordon, she said, I go to bed at 10 o'clock. And said, before I go to sleep, I pray. He said, I pray for you every night about 10 o'clock. And then after he got saved, he pieced that together. That woman's prayers was tearing him up. You say, you don't know what your prayers are doing. Just keep praying, church. If you're praying, just keep praying. Pray a little more. We're going to go out and talk to sinners. Let's be prayed up. Let's pray God on them. Let's pray direction from God. Let's pray God working on their hearts and open their blinded minds and binding that strong man. We need God. You see, I'm afraid if we're defeated, we're defeated in the prayer closet. God spoke to your heart this morning. Would you be honest enough to be obedient? Brother Allen, you come with a song. You and Sister King, just bow your heads. I'm just asking you to obey. I'm not asking you to do anything. I'm not twisting your arm. I don't want you to do anything you're not supposed to do. But if God spoken to your heart this morning, would you come and do business with Him? Would you obey the Spirit of God? These have come to pray. Maybe you need to pray. Don't say no to God. Just do business with Him. Do business with Him this morning. Brother Allen, you sing. Saint, you pray. You pray.